10. As soon as he stepped onto the walkway, fear filled up Eddie's hollow places like cold water, and he began to wonder if he hadn't made a very dangerous mistake. From solid ground, the bridge seemed to be swaying only a little, but once he was actually on it, he felt as if he were standing on the pendulum of the world's biggest grandfather clock. The movement was very slow, but it was regular, and the length of the swings was much longer than he had anticipated. The walkway's surface was badly cracked and canted at least 10 degrees to the left. His feet gritted in loose piles of powdery concrete, and the low squealing sound of the box segments grinding together was constant. Beyond the bridge, the city skyline tilted slowly back and forth, like the artificial horizon of the world's slowest moving video game. Overhead, the wind hummed constantly in the taut hangars. Below, the ground fell away sharply to the muddy northwest bank of the river. He was 30 feet up, then 60, then 110. Soon he would be over the water. The wheelchair banged against his left leg with every step. Something furry brushed between his feet, and he clutched madly for the rusty handrail with his right hand, barely holding in a scream. Oi went trotting past him with a brief upward glance as if to say, "Excuse me, just passing."
"Fucking dumb animal," Eddie said through gritted teeth.
He discovered that although he didn't like looking down, he had an even greater aversion to looking at the hangars, which were still managing to hold the deck and the overhead cables together. They were sleeved with rust, and Eddie could see snarls of metal thread poking out of most. These snarls looked like metallic puffs of cotton. He knew from his Uncle Reg, who had worked on both the George Washington and Triborough bridges as a painter, that the hangers and overhead cables were spun from thousands of steel threads. On this bridge, the spin was finally letting go. The hangers were quite literally becoming unraveled, and as they did, the threads were snapping, one interwoven strand at a time.
"It's held this long, it'll hold a little longer. You think this thing's going to fall into the river just because you're crossing it? Don't flatter yourself."
He wasn't comforted, however. For all Eddie knew, they might be the first people to attempt the crossing in decades. And the bridge, after all, would have to collapse sometime. And from the look of things, it was going to be soon. Their combined weight might be the straw that broke the camel's back. His moccasin struck a chunk of concrete, and Eddie watched, sickened but helpless to look away, as the chunk fell down and down and down, turning over as it went. There was a small, very small, splash when it hit the river. The freshening wind gusted and stuck his shirt against his sweaty skin. The bridge groaned and swayed. Eddie tried to remove his hands from the side rail, but they seemed frozen to the pitted metal in a death grip. He closed his eyes for a moment.
"You're not going to freeze. You're not. I forbid it. If you need something to look at, make it long, tall, and ugly."
Eddie opened his eyes again, fixed them on the gunslinger, forced his hands to open, and began to move forward again. Eleven. Roland reached the gap and looked back. Jake was 5 feet behind him. Oi was at his heels. The bumbler was crouched down with his neck stretched forward. The wind was much stronger over the river cut, and Roland could see it rippling Oi's silky fur. Eddie was about 25 feet behind Jake. His face was tightly drawn, but he was still shuffling grimly along with Susanna's collapsed wheelchair in his left hand. His right was clutching the rail like grim death.
"Susanna?"
"Yes," she responded at once. "Fine."
"Jake?" Jake looked up. He was still grinning, and the gunslinger saw there was going to be no problem there. The boy was having the time of his life. His hair blew back from his finely made brow in waves, and his eyes sparkled. He jerked one thumb up. Roland smiled and returned the gesture.
"Eddie?" "Don't worry about me."
Eddie appeared to be looking at Roland, but the gunslinger decided he was really looking past him at the windowless brick buildings which crowded the riverbank at the far end of the bridge. That was all right. Given his obvious fear of heights, it was probably the best thing he could do to keep his head.
"All right, I won't," Roland murmured.
"We're going to cross the hole now, Susanna. Sit easy. No quick movements. Understand?"
"Yes."
If you want to adjust your position, do it now.
I'm fine, Roland, she said calmly. I just hope Eddie'll be all right.
Eddie's a gunslinger now. He'll behave like one. Roland turned to the right so he was facing directly downriver and grasped the handrail. Then he began to edge out across the hull, shuffling his boots along the rusty cable.